Labor history is often presented as a parade of burly men in hard hats, but the real story is far richer and more diverse. In Fight Like Hell, Kim Kelly reveals how the rights we take for granted, weekends, 8-hour workdays, safety regulations, weren't gifts from benevolent employers, but victories won through collective action, often led by society's most marginalized. This isn't just about union contracts and picket lines, it's about human dignity and the courage to demand better in the face of overwhelming power. The struggle for worker justice has always been intertwined with broader movements for civil rights, gender equality, and social transformation. As we navigate today's changing workplace landscape, these forgotten stories offer both inspiration and practical lessons in solidarity. The Lowell Mill Girls of the 1830s, America's first female industrial workforce, created reading circles, published a journal, and organized for better conditions. Under Sarah Bagley's leadership, they exposed how 14-hour workdays led to tuberculosis and permanent health damage. "The whip which brings us to Lowell is necessity," she wrote. "Is this mind? It is slavery." In 1866, newly emancipated black washerwomen formed the South's first labor union, demanding uniform rates. Their most notable victory came in 1881 Atlanta during the International Cotton Exposition. Starting with 20 women in a church basement, they grew to 3,000 strong. When threatened with excessive fees, they countered by demanding control of the hand laundering industry. Faced with the prospect of dirty linens during their showcase event, Atlanta's leaders yielded. The Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, founded by A. Philip Randolph in 1925, exemplifies how black workers' labor struggles intertwined with civil rights. Pullman porters endured degrading conditions, forbidden from eating with passengers or sleeping during overnight shifts. Yet the steady income helped create a black middle class, and the Brotherhood's influence extended beyond workplace issues into the broader civil rights movement. Sometimes it takes disaster to spark transformation. In early 20th century New York, immigrant women toiled in dangerous sweatshops until 23-year-old Clara Lemlich interrupted a union meeting, declaring, "I am a working girl," and calling for an immediate general strike. Her passionate appeal inspired 20,000 women to walk off their jobs in what became the Uprising of the 20,000. Despite this action, the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory refused all demands until March 25, 1911, when fire engulfed the building. With doors locked and inadequate exits, horrified onlookers watched women jump to their deaths. The fire killed 146 workers and sparked national outrage. Yet factory owners escaped justice, actually profiting from insurance payouts while settling with victims' families for just $6 per life lost. One witness to this horror was Frances Perkins, who would later become America's first female cabinet member. As labor secretary under FDR, she created fundamental protections millions still rely on today, later saying, "The New Deal began the day she smelled the smoke and saw the bodies of those young women workers burn." Throughout labor history, employers tried exploiting racial, ethnic, and gender divisions to prevent worker solidarity. In Detroit's auto plants, Arab and black workers united against harsh conditions, culminating in the 1973 Wildcat strike when workers discovered their union dues funded Israeli bonds during the Arab-Israeli War. Hawaii's sugar plantations attempted to create ethnic divisions by recruiting workers from different countries. This failed during the 1946 Great Sugar Strike when the ILWU successfully united workers across ethnic lines. The Marine Cooks and Stewards Union evolved from a whites-only organization into a pioneer of interracial solidarity and LGBTQIA inclusion. Their slogan, "It's anti-union to red bait, race bait, or queen bait," reflected their progressive stance, with members organizing drag show fundraisers and embracing queer culture. The partnership between Randolph and Bayard Rustin, a gay black activist, proved transformative for civil rights. In 1968, Rustin supported Memphis sanitation workers protesting unsafe conditions after two workers died. Dr. King joined this struggle, delivering his mountaintop speech before his assassination. The workers' eventual victory demonstrated how economic and racial justice movements are inherently connected. During the Depression, Black domestic workers gathered on the Bronx slave market street corners, accepting below-market rates for cleaning work. Journalist Marvel Cook went undercover among this paper bag brigade, earning just $3.40 for a day's labor, concluding that workers needed legislative protection and unionization. Dorothy Lee Bolden, a domestic worker since age 9, became a pioneering organizer. Guided by her neighbor Martin Luther King Jr. in Atlanta, she cleverly used bus rides, domestic workers' main social time, to build community and discuss working conditions. Her National Domestic Workers Union required only $1 and voter registration for membership, linking labor rights to political power. Her efforts helped triple Atlanta domestic workers' wages within 2 years. The struggle continues today. Following a PBS expose on sexual violence in the janitorial industry, workers' Ya Basta, Enough is Enough campaign secured significant legislative protections for vulnerable workers, many of them immigrants. The League of the Physically Handicapped, formed by 6 disabled New Yorkers in 1935, challenged discriminatory hiring through a 9-day sit-in, demanding, "We don't want charity, we want jobs." Their actions compelled the WPA to hire over 1,500 disabled workers. The 1977 504 sit-in became the longest peaceful federal building occupation in U.S. history, lasting 28 days. Supported by the Black Panthers and Machinists Union, protesters fought for anti-discrimination regulations in federally funded programs. Yet, challenges persist, notably the sub-minimum wage provision allowing employers to pay disabled workers pennies per hour. These sheltered workshops, supported even by labor advocate Frances Perkins, often exploit rather than train workers, highlighting how progress can still leave vulnerable workers behind. Kelly's narrative brings labor history into the present day, highlighting how the COVID-19 pandemic exposed deep inequities for essential workers, who were simultaneously the most vulnerable and least protected. As vaccines arrived and employers reverted to exploitation, workers responded with unprecedented resistance. The fall of 2021 saw so many labor actions that the term Striketober entered the public lexicon, with workers at Nabisco, Kellogg's, John Deere, and many others channeling pandemic-era fury and outrage into solidarity. What emerges from this sweeping history is a profound understanding that labor rights have never been freely given. They have always been fought for and won through collective action, often at tremendous personal cost. As we face new challenges in today's rapidly changing economy, from gig work to automation to climate transition, these stories remind us that the tools for creating a more just workplace have always been the same: solidarity, collective action, and an unwavering belief that all workers deserve dignity. The struggle continues, but as the United Farm Workers slogan reminds us, "Sí se puede." Yes, we can.